Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Mem Vav. We are holding on daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. We're at the two dots on Mem Hei Amud Beis. Today's daf is basically about Klalei Hapsak. After we get through the issue of water and where the water was before Shabbos and whether it's Kona Shvisa in different locations, which is finishing up from yesterday's discussion, we're going to go through three possibilities of why we have to say in multiple different ways Halacha Kedivrei Mekel Be'eruv, that we paskin like the more lenient opinion by an Eruv in all machloksim in Hilchos Erevin, and we're going to explore whether it makes a difference whether it's Yachid v'Rabim, whether the Rabim is the Machmir or the Rabim is the Mekil in a case of Hilchos Erevin. And then on Amud Beis we're just going to list down Klalei Hapsak. When you have this Tana against that Tana, who do you paskin like a different Tana against that? Just go through various Klalei Hapsak. So let's first finish off this discussion about water. We're at the two dots on Mem Hei Amud Beis. Amar Mar, we mentioned yesterday, B'yom Tov Harehin Karagle Kol Adam, that when rain falls on Yantif, the halacha is that the Tchum Shabbos that rain has is Karagle Kol Adam, that it's whoever picks it up, he takes that rain wherever, that water within his own Tchum, it takes on the Tchum of the person. So Frek the Gemara, why should that be? Mai Likni Shvisa Bu Kainos, why isn't it Kona Shvisa in the ocean? The rain was in the ocean before Shabbos started, so that's where it should be Kona Shvisa. And Lema Dolok Rabbi Lazar, must be that we're assuming against Rabbi Lazar. Dik Rabbi Lazar Hamar Kolom Kolom Meu Kainos Shosa. Rabbi Lazar is one that assumes that whenever it rains, you have the right to assume that water came from the ocean. So if we really accepted Rabbi Lazar, we would assume that this water came from the ocean, and therefore it would already have been Kona Shvisa in the ocean. The fact that we don't assume that tells us that we must reject Rabbi Elazar. So says Mar Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Hacha Ba'avim Sheneskashu Me'erav Yom Tov Askina. No, we're dealing with a case. Initially it came from Ukainus, but we're dealing with a case where it was already cloudy on Erev Yantiv. So you know that this rain was already in the clouds on Erev Yantiv, and that's why it wasn't Kona Shvisa in the ocean. It wasn't in the ocean on Erev Yantiv. You saw that it was already cloudy. So Frek the Gemara, yeah, but V'dilma Hanachazli, V'anachachrinin. How do you know that this rain was the same water that was in the clouds when Yantiv started? Maybe the clouds you saw yesterday left, and this is a new clouds that came about from that formed just on Yantiv from the ocean, and therefore it is Kona Shvisa. Shouldn't you at least be machmir for that possibility? So says Gemara, De Islu Simana Begavayu. You have a simon that you know it's the same clouds. You're a meteorologist or something, and you're able to figure out that this must be the same clouds in the Shem Mishimon. I don't know if it's the same Shem. Shem Mishimon, one of the Achronim on Shas, not to be confused with the Shem Mishmuel. The Shem Mishimon, both of those names of Svarim come from Gemara in Gittin, when it talks about being Kosev. So Gemara in Shabbos also being Kosev Shtei Osios, right? So if you write Shtei Osios, that's not the whole name. Shem Mishmuel, Shin Mem Mishmuel, Shem Mishimon. So anyway, the Shem Mishimon, he says that we see clearly from our sugya that by Yenisa Drabanan, you're allowed to be Somech on a Simen Drabanan. What's a Simen Drabanan? A Simen She'inu Mufak, something that can't be clearly discernible 100%. Because by the clouds, you definitely can't say that a person would have a simon mufak, that these are the same exact clouds from Erev Yom Tov. You have some sort of simon kal, some sort of an indicator, but there's no way you can know for sure. And nevertheless, we're somech on it to be matir, to be metal to the mayim on Yom Tov. So it must be that since Tchumen et Rabbanon, we're somech on a simon de Rabbanon. And this would seem to be a kasha on those poskim hold that even for an issa de Rabbanon, we need a simon da oraisa. We see clearly that it's a simon de Rabbanon. So that's one approach. That it must be that you have a simon begavayu, and therefore it was not Kona Shvisa. So says Gemara, or another approach, you don't have a simon, you don't know, but it's a safik de Rabbanon. So safik de Rabbanon, you could go lekula. The whole issue of tchumen lechora is de Rabbanon, therefore you can go lekula. And Atosas Dibra Maskali Baizema, safik de Vreim says, wait a second, safik de Rabbanon lekula has some exceptions to it. Avagav David, Davashishal Matirin, Vamaravashi, Bresh Beitza, Davashishal Matirin, Afilu Be'el of Lobat. So Tosa says, wait a second, by a Dover Sheish Lamatirin, we're not making on a Safik Drabanan. When you have a Safik, but if you were just to wait it out, it would become mutter for sure you'd be able to enjoy that item in Bederech Heter, then we don't say Safek Drabbanan Lekula, that we're going to rely on a Safek. You have to wait it out and wait till it becomes Mutter Bevadai. So isn't this a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? This is talking about wait till after Shabbos, and then you're not going to have any Tchum problems. You'll be able to enjoy this water as much as you want. So says Tosfos. So you see from here is that that when it comes to Eruv, we're so makel by Eruv that we always say Safek Drabbanan Lekula, even when it's against the normal rules of Savik Drabbanan Lekula. So the Shana Melech, he just points out, he's not really sure. How does Tosos know this? Maybe Rav Ashi holds that Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, that we're going to be Machmir and a Safik Drabbanan by Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, holds like the first answer of our Gemara, Dis Lusimana Begavayu, and therefore it's not a Safik. Maybe he doesn't hold like the second answer of our Gemara. So it could be that it wouldn't be a Stira at all. Rav Ashi holds, who told Tosos that Rav Ashi holds like the second answer? It could be holds like the first answer of the Gemara, that we're dealing with with clouds that were there Miba'ud Yom and Yavasimin, and therefore even Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin we would not say Safek Drabbanan Lekula, but by Mayim it would be Mutar L'Chadchila based on the Vaday. That's one Ha'ara. Another Ha'ara that's made is if we've discussed many times the concept of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is a Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand the concept of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. There's a Ran in Nedarim where he suggests that the reason Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is not batel, that normally an Isser is batel Barov or batel B'Shishim, Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is not batel, is because the concept of bittel is that there's a conflict between characteristics of Isser versus characteristics of Heter, and if you have a Rove of Heter, the Rove of Heter overwhelms the characteristics of Isser. But when we also have a concept called min bemino eno batel, that when two like kinds mixed together, so they don't become batel. Why? Because one isn't overwhelming the other. They're min bimino, they're the same. They enhance each other because they're similar. So they bring out each other's qualities even more. So he says, just like we have min bimino eino batel in mitzius in the physical world, there's min bimino eino batel in the halachic spiritual world, so in the metaphysical world. So when you have something that's Isser that falls into a rove of Heter, but that Isser itself is not really so Isser. There's the characteristics of Heter in that Isser. In that, it's a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. It will one day become Mutter. So then, the Heter does not overwhelm the Isser. Adarabba, they share some characteristics. It's like a metaphysical minim bimino. That's why Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is in a battle. Rashi says, no, it's not because of that. Rashi says, Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is in a battle because you might as well wait till it's Mutter. So why would you rely on Bittel? Same reason why Safek Drabbanan, you're not going to rely on Safek Drabbanan Lekula and Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, because why would you rely on the Safek? Just wait till it's Mutter and it will be Mutter and you'll be able to enjoy it. So it says Litzlach at the beginning of Maseches Beitza, Slach and Maseches Pesachim points out in a few different places. Says the Slach, if you accept Rashi's Svara, that the whole idea of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is you might as well wait. Why would you enjoy? Why would you use it now when reliance fakos? Might as well wait till it's mutter. What if it's something that you could use multiple times? What if it's not? We're not talking about an Isra Achila. An Isra Achila, you could say, why would I eat it now? Might as well eat it later when it's mutter. But what if we're dealing with something that's an Isra Hana'a? I will use it later. I want to use it now also. I want to use it now and later. So you can't say Svara, might as well wait to use it later. Why would you bother using it now? No, I want to use it both. I want to use it later and use it now. So in such a case, we would not apply the concept of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin in a batel. We would say that Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is batel. So that's what the Not Debuta points out, that in our Tosos, we see that even legabe tiltul mayim, even when it comes to moving water, to handling water, with shayich the din of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So he says, you see that Tosos must disagree, says Litzlach. Not Debuta writes, Not Debuta is Litzlach. So Not Debuta in Tinyon, or Chaim Simenayin Dalit. So you see, Tosos disagrees with my analysis. But he says, I don't have a problem with that, because my analysis was within Shitas Rashi. I think Tosos disagrees with Rashi, and Tosos would hold that the cloud of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin would apply even when it's an Israel, even when it's something that you could use now and use later. Something the Achronim point out, the Tshuvas Amudei Eish just points out very mistavri that you don't have to say Tosfos disagrees with the Tzlach's understanding of Rashi. What are we talking about over here? Why are you moving this water? It's not about moving the water. I want to move it later and I want to move it now. Now you're moving the water so you could drink it. It's really all about drinking it. So if you're moving it now, it's because you want to drink it now. You want to drink it on Shabbos. So that's why we're still going to apply Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, because it's only a one-time use, even though you could technically move it many, many times, but the whole point of moving it is for the drinking of the water. Okay, back in the Gemara now. So it says Gemara, but wait a second. So you can rely on the Savik Rabbanon, and we're going to say that that maybe it was not in the ocean anymore, and that's why it was not Kona Shvisa in the ocean. But even if it was in the clouds, shouldn't it have been Kona Shvisa in the clouds? V'likni Shvisa ba'avim. Why isn't it Kona Shvisa in the clouds? Why do we assume it takes on your own tchum when you pick up the water? It should already have its own tchum from being Kona Shvisa in the clouds. Tifshut minah, dein tchum on the Malam Ayasara, diyesh tchum in likni Shvisa ba'avim. So maybe this is a raya that ain't tchum in the Malam Ayasara, because if there were tchum in the Malam Ayasara, then it would have been or should have been Kona Shvisa in the clouds. So says Gemara li Olamei Melach, yesh tchum in. Really, I'll tell you that there's yesh tchum in the Malam Ayasara. Umaya bi'iva mivla bli'i. But the water in the clouds is considered to be completely absorbed in the clouds, and therefore the key line it doesn't say. Rashi points out ukeman delesnehu dami v'lo kaneluhu shvisa emesh. This water did not exist yesterday. It was a cloud yesterday. That's not considered to be water, and therefore it's considered to be nolad. It's something that's brand new on Shabbos. So it was not kona shvisa. So says Gemara, well then kol shekein davin nolad asiri. Then for sure you shouldn't be allowed to handle it at all. Then it should be muktzah. It's the worst form of muktzah. Something that first comes into being on Shabbos and Yantiv, that's the strongest form of muktzah. Ella maya ba'avim meina naidi. No, it's not an issue that it didn't exist yesterday. It did exist, but it was constantly moving yesterday. And since it was moving, it was not kona shvisa. Something that's constantly on the move does not have the ability to be kona shvisa. Oh, once we say that, hasha das la'achi ukainas nami loluk shalach maya ba'ukainas nami meina naidi. That not only explains why it's not kona shvisa in the clouds, it also explains why it's not kona shvisa in the ocean. You don't have to rely on any sveikos or any other issues when it comes to the water in the ocean, that, oh, you see these clouds were here from yesterday. Even if you didn't see clouds from yesterday, water in the ocean is always moving, and therefore it was never kona shvisa. So it's not kona shvisa in the ocean, it's not kona shvisa in the clouds, because the water is always moving. There's a discussion, when something is moving, is there no din of being kona shvisa? Tzitza Eliezer in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simul Chaf Aleph Os Yud Zayin talks about someone who's flying on a plane on Shabbos. I just got the Shaila last week. Someone got on a plane that was delayed significantly, and the plane was gonna just make it, maybe, with the beginning of Shabbos. So the biggest problem the person had, forget about Malacha and how to get to where they were staying, and okay, if they flew into Kennedy, they could walk into LaGuardia, they could probably walk to neighborhoods in Queens, but the biggest problem is Tchum. What do you do about Tchum Shabbos? So you say there are houses all along the way. Yeah, that's if you're going along through the neighborhoods, but in the airport is a very, very large, empty area. So, and forget about the airport, if they're in the plane, right? So where are they? So Tzitz Eliezer writes, someone's traveling on an airplane on Shabbos, since the halacha, there's no hachra'a, if there's yesh tchum in the Malamei Asara, or ain't tchum in the Malamei Asara. So he says, b'yamimun haros, when you're flying over water, where there's no tchum in midar raisa, you could be makel. But when it comes to a plane that's flying over dry land, where there are tchumin midar raisa, based on the suffix b'shkola chumra, and your kona shvisa there, and if afterwards the plane travels more than yud beis mil, you should not be allowed to leave the plane. You should not be allowed to walk out of the plane. You've already gone outside of your tchum. Now, obviously, they'll throw you out of the plane. They'll get security and they'll pick you up and throw you out of the plane. But certainly, you should not be allowed to leave the airport. So then he quotes from the Bir Halacha that we're not kona shvisa b'sfina mipreshi hina yedes, because the boat is constantly moving. So he says, if that's the case, kol shekein on an airplane. And even if you say that by a boat, we are kona shvisa even while it's moving, that's because it's not considered to be nayad. It's considered to be omid b'makoma, and the water is what's moving it. The water is what's moving. But by an airplane, it's certainly moving on its own, and therefore you're not kona shvisa, and that's why it's mutter to get off of the airplane afterwards. But even once you're off of the airplane, l'chora, it is usur to probably then leave the airport. Okay, so... So says the Gemara further now. V'tanya naharus hamoshkun umayanos hanovin harein karagle kol adam. So we have a brisa that if you have if you have water that you have rivers and streams, so there's karagle kol adam takes on the tchum of the person who takes the water. Amar Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Halach Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri. That we paskin like Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri. Amar Rabbi Zeril, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Beferish Mielach, or Mechlalish Mielach. When you say that Halach is like Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri, did you hear this explicitly, or did you derive this from something else, from some other statement that you were told? So Amar Leh, so he said, again, in yesterday's Afiyan Machlokas, whether a sleeping person acquires Tchum Shabbos, that's who Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri is. We said, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rabbi Shoban Levi, Halach Rabbi Yochan Minuri, is that a sleeping person gets a tchum of 2,000 amos. That's what we're saying, that we pass on Rabbi Yochan Minuri, that even a sleeping person gets a tchum of 2,000 amos. So the Gemara is asking, did we hear that explicitly, or did we derive that from something? So Amar Leh Beferish Mili, he said, I heard it explicitly. So my klala, and what would I have been able to derive it from? Meaning, whenever we ask that question, we always assume that we know of some statement from which we might be able to derive this idea from. So my klala, says Rashi, me'iza klala v'salka daitach me'ikara d'sham le'de Rabbi Shua ben Levi d'nei me'milsa d'nei d'glamina. What did I think you heard from Rabbi Shua ben Levi that you would then be able to know and derive on your own that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So it's from the following. Gam Rabbi Shua ben Levi halacha k'divrei mekel be'eruv. Because Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds halacha k'divrei mekel be'eruv. We always go with the more lenient opinion in Hilchas Erevin. So that's what I thought. That's why I assume you followed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because he's the more makel opinion. He holds that even a sleeping person is kona shvisa of 2,000 amos and not just dalet amos around him. So that's why I thought we would pass on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But then you tell me beferish milach that you knew it beferish that we pass on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now this klal of halachik divrei mekel be'eruv is subject to a lot of discussion in the Rishonim. How broad is this klal? How wide ranging is this klal? Do we always say that we're makel be'eruv? You should know that as a general attitude, in terms of setting up a citywide Eruvin, we generally do not use this klal that much. We don't say, oh, let's rely on every single kula, because halacha divrei mekel be'eruv. Many of the contemporary posts can point out that even if you apply it to dinim of mechitzos and all the different things and suras of Pesach and all the different parts of our city Eruvin, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't really have citywide Eruvin. When you made an Eruv, it was for you, so you could rely on your more mekel shitos. But if you're making an eruv for everybody, anytime you're making anything that's for everybody, that all of the entire community is supposed to rely on, so whether it be a mikveh, whether it be an eruv, whether it be a vada kashrus, you're not supposed to rely on das yachid, you're not supposed to rely on extra kulas, because what may be a kula that one person is comfortable with, not everybody's going to be comfortable with. So if you want to make something for an entire community, we generally do not take the attitude of following divrei mekel. But in Rishonim, we have this discussion about how broad the concept is. Some Rishonim hold that even if Dine Erev were da'oraisa, we would still say halacha divrei mekel be'eruv, meaning this is not a fancy way of saying that savik d'rabanan l'kula, or halacha divrei mekel on a din d'rabanan. This is even if we had Dine Erev in that were da'oraisa, whereas other Rishonim say, no, it's only because the whole din of Erev is d'rabanan, that's why we say halacha divrei mekel be'eruv. But if there were any dinim that were d'oraisa, we would not say halacha divrei mekel. What the main afkamina between the erevin is drabanan. So in this theoretical world, if there was such a thing as d'oraisa, well, dinim mechitzos, whether something is considered a mechitza or not a mechitza, has ramifications d'oraisa also. If something could be considered a mechitza mid'oraisa, l'gabe sukkah, there are certainly, whether something is l'gabe defining something as a rosh hashayachid or rosh hasharabim, making mechitzos is an inyan that's d'oraisa. Do you say halacha divrei mekel ba'avel? on machlokas and mechitzos, and that's very common in our city Erevin in terms of defining what's a mechitza that surrounds the area. So that's this machlokas rishonim, whether you say halacha divrei mekel be'erev. Also, some of the rishonim hold the klal of halacha divrei mekel be'erev is said even not only by machlokas tanaim, even by machlokas amoraim, whereas others say no, only by machlokas tanaim, not by machlokas amoraim. You also have the Rush writes the klal of halacha divrei mekel be'erev is even said by machlokas haposkin, not only machlokas tanaim, not only machlokas amoraim, even by later machlokasim, even machlokas in the poskim. But some achronim hold that no, machlokas haposkin would not get halacha divrei mekel be'erev. There are several rishonim, the Rush and the Rashba, Tosfos, several rishonim that hold that the klal of halacha divrei mekel does not apply when there's another klal that goes against it, like Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shmuel, you know that Hilchos Kishmul Bedini, Hilchos Krav Bisuri, that when you have that we would not say Halacha Divrei Mekel Be'erev against another already existing klal. However, the Ritva says that the klal of Halacha Divrei Mekel is so said the klal of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like the Mekel. We're always going to paskin like the Mekel, meaning that it overrules the other klalim of Pesach. So many, many other issues that come up in terms of how broadly we apply halach divrei mekel be'erev. But either way, in our case, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi said that he heard in the name of Rabbi Shur ben Levi that we pass like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. And he wasn't relying on the general statement of halach divrei mekel be'erev. He actually heard that we pass like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. So that begs the question, the Gemara says, v'tarti lamali. Why would he have to say that we pass like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri once we already know halach divrei mekel be'erev? Meaning, now that you tell me you heard it straight from Rabbi Shur ben Levi that we pass like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, well, why would Rabbi Shur ben Levi ever say that? We already know halach divrei mekel be'erev. Why would you need to tell me both things, that halacha divrei mekel be'erev and that halacha zakar b'yochum benuri? Tell me one or the other. Why do you have to tell me both? So the Gemara is going to give three answers, three approaches to deal with this question. So Amar Rabbi Zeira Tzrichi, Diyash min halacha Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri, had he only told me halacha Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri and not told me halacha kedivrei mekel be'erev, hava mina ben l'kula ben l'chumra, I would think that we follow Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri both l'kula and l'chumra. Kamash milan halacha kedivrei mekel be'erev. That's why he has to tell me halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev. Had we only said halacha Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri, we would have thought to apply his logical chumra. What does it mean, apply his logical chumra? He said a kula, didn't he? That a sleeping person gets 2,000 amos? No, in the case of an object that's hefker being limited to a tchum. So if a sleeping person gets 2,000 amos, he gets his kona shvisa, so is a hefker object, and therefore it's kona its own shvisa, and you can't bring it to wherever you want to bring it within your own tchum. It's limited to its own tchum. So that's a chumra. So I would have thought that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Nuri even by chefzei hefker, even to go to chumra. So that's why you have to tell me halacha divrei mekel be'erev. Now Tosfos points out, is that really a kasha? Why you need to tell me halacha divrei mekel be'erev once you already tell me halacha Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? The kasha is really the reverse. Once you tell me halacha divrei mekel be'erev, why do I need to say halacha Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? But once you tell me halacha Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that's about a very specific machlokas in Hilchos Erevin. You would still need to tell me halacha divrei mekel be'erev for every other machlokas in Hilchos Erevin. So to the whole kasha, this whole answer to explain why we still need halacha divrei mekel be'erev after we have halacha Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is really unnecessary. Tosfos points out, Havalei lemeimer districh halacha divrei mekel livsok halacha bekol makomos. El denich lemeimer dafil lahach milso gufa istrich. Yeah, but anyway, we came up with a svara why even locally over here we would still need that to be told that halacha divrei mekel be'erev, even legabe this machlokas, this discussion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. So says Gemara, okay, but what about the reverse? V'leima halacha divrei mekel be'erev halacha Rabbi Yochanan Nuri lamali. Why don't you just say that halacha divrei mekel be'erev, and then you won't need to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So says Gemara, it's strict. No, we need to say both. Salka daita chamina, hani mili yachid b'makom yachid, v'rabim b'makom rabim. That when do we say that halacha divrei mekel be'erev? That's when it's even. When you have a yachid arguing on a yachid, a rabim arguing on a yachid. Aval yachid b'makom rabim, eim alo. But I would think if it's a yachid going up against the Rav, an individual that's being mekel against a group that's being machmir, so I would think that you're not going to say Allah devre mekel be'eriv. So that's why I need to be told that Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, even though he's going up against the Rav. So we're going to now find that Rava rejects this answer because eriv in adrabana, so we never would have thought that there's any difference between Yachan and Rav. Amrle Rava labaye michti eriv in adrabana mali yachan makom yachan mali yachan makom Rav. By yedin adrabana, it doesn't make a difference which side is the Yachid, which side is the Rabbin. We always go with the more Mekel Shita. So Rava says, I never would have had a Hava Amin otherwise. Of course you always go with the more Mekel Shita, even if the more Mekel Shita is a Yachid going up against the Rabbin. So now the Gemara is going to question Rava from two different sources. We're going to say, Rava, are you sure about that? Is that really correct? That when a Yachid is more Mekel against the Rabbim on a Din D'Rabbanan, we're always going to go like the Yachid against the Rabbim? That Din D'Rabbanan are so Mekel that we ignore the numbers on either side of the Machlokas? We have two different sources where it seems that that's not correct. Number one, Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, Ubidrabanan lo shanilan, ben yachid b'makom yachid, the yachid makom rabim. Why you think on dinim drabanan we don't distinguish between yachid makom rabim v'atnan? Rebbe Lezer Omer Kalisha Shavra le'asholosh anos, daya shaita. Rebbe Lezer holds that any time a woman went 90 days, three average length periods, without seeing dam, so daya shaita. The halacha is that when she sees dam next, she could assume that she's tamei only from the moment she found the dam. This is the machlokas in the first Mishnah, Maseches Nida, about when a woman finds dam, how long does she have to assume that she's been tamei for? Does she go back to the mipkida l'pkida to assume that since the last time she checked, she must have gotten her period right after the last time she checked? Or do we say me'es la'es, only 24 hours, or mifkida l'fkida mima'etes mi'adda eses? But there are certain women that are definitely dayashaita. Dayashaita means that you don't go back at all. You don't assume any tumma l'mafreya. You just assume if she saw it now, that that's when she became a nida, and she wasn't even a nida 5 minutes ago. When do we assume that? By an isha that's misulek as damin. By a woman that we assume is not expected to bleed. So a postmenopausal woman is not expected to bleed. What makes her postmenopausal? How do we define it? 90 days without seeing dam. If she went three periods without seeing dam, so we assume that she's not expected to bleed. So Blazer says, any woman that over la sholosh onos, daya shaita. You assume that she's tamei going forward only. Vitanya maisavasa Rabbi Karbelazar. Rebbe did like Rabbi Lazar, la'achar sheniskar, and then after he remembered something happened, he remembered something, Amar kedai Rabbi Lazar l'smach l'b'shas v'chak. He said, okay, I already paskin, so it's kedai, we can rely, Rabbi Lazar is chashav enough that we can rely on him b'shas v'chak. So my la'achar sheniskar, what did he remember that made him want to change his mind, but he didn't because we could rely on Rabbi Lazar b'shas hachak? Ilem la'achar sheniskar deina la'achar b'lazar elik rabbanon. If what he remembered is that we don't pass on Rabbi Lazar, we pass on like the rabbanon b'shas hachak, heich yavin kavasei. Then what do you mean that we can rely on Rabbi Lazar b'shas hachak? If that's not the halacha, you can't rely on it at all. It must be that there's no tradition of how to paskin over here. They don't have any significant tradition to paskin like Rav Lazar, to paskin like the Rabbanon, one way or the other. So the Achash and Izkar, the Lav Yachid Palagale, and the Rabbin Pligale. But what he realizes is that it's the Rabbin that argues on Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar Kedaihu Rav Lazar, Lismachalav Bishas Chak. So he says, if there's a Rabbin that argues on Rabbi Lazar, really I should have paskin like the Rabbin, since there's no clear tradition. But once I pass like Rav Lazar Kedaihu, Lismach Alav B'Shas Hadchak. But what do you see from there? That even though it's on an issue midrabbanan, it's a Yachid versus a Rabbim, what would he have done if he had to do it all over again? He would have gone with the Rabbim. He would not have said, let's just go with Rav Lazar because he's the more Mekel Shita. He would have gone with the Rabbim, HaMachmirim. Not like Rav Lazar. So Amar of Mesharshi l'Rava, Amar of Nachma Yitzchak l'Rava, and another challenge to Rava from a different source, Ubidrabanan lo shani ben yachl makom yachl ben yachl makom rabim, on a din drabanan, do you not distinguish between when it's a yachl arguing on a yachl where you can go with the more makel opinion, versus when it's a yachl who's makel against a rabim that's machmir? Don't you agree that we would then have to go with the more machmir opinion? Vatani, we have a brisa. Shmur krova no heges shivu shloshim rechokei no heges al yom echad. If a person finds out that they lost that a relative of theirs died, that one of the Zion krovim died, so they observe shiva and shloshim, But if it's a Shmur Rechoka, they find out much later, way after the death, then they only observe one day of Avelus. Ve'ezo hi krova, ve'ezo hi Rechoka. How do we define what's considered finding out soon after the death versus what's considered finding out much later, way after the death? B'toch shloshim krova, li'achar shloshim rechoka. Div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, if you find out within 30 days of the death, then it's considered a shmua krova. If you find out after 30 days of the death, then it's considered a shmua rechoka. So v'cham omrim, achar shmua krova, v'achar shmua rechoka, no'egeshev v'shloshim. But the chachamim, keep in mind, it was a das yachid that said, you know, egeshev v'shloshim. But the chachamim say that, it's das yachid that says, you know, yom echad. But the chachamim say, even a shmur rechoka, even when you find out much, much later, still you observe the full shiva and shloshim. V'amar rabba bar brachana, amar rabbi yochanan, kol mokom shata motzi, yachid mekel, v'rabbi mechmirin, halacha kedivrei mechmirin, amarubim. That generally speaking, we're always going to follow the more machmir majority opinion. Chutz mizu, except in this case, Shaf Bishra Rabbi Akiva Mekel, Vacham Machmirin, Halakh the Rabbi Akiva. This is an exception. In this one case, we're going to make an exception. But Visavala Kishmuel, Damar Shmuel, Halakh the Rabbi Mekel Ba'avel. Why are we more Mekel over here, like the Das Yachid? Because that's a special rule by Avelus, that we always follow the more Mekel opinion by Avelus. Oh, but what do you see? What's the general rule that we're trying to suggest? Ba'avelus hu da'kilu ba'rabanan. Aval bi'alma, afilu b'drabanan shani ben yachad makam yachad ben yachad makam rabin. Sounds like it's only by Avelus that we're going to be making like a das yachid against the rabin on a din d'rabanan, but by other dinim d'rabanan, we're going to go with the rabin ma'machmirim over the yachad that's Mekel. Again, a kasha against Rava. So all of that was within the first approach. Again, our question was, why did I need to have two statements? That Allah is Kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv, and that Allah is like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. So the first approach was that how we only had Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, we might have thought to apply his logic even to Chumrah, and had we only said Allah Kedivrei HaMekel Be'avel, we would have thought that that's only true when it's two Yechidim or two Rabbims, but a Yachid versus Rabbim, not to go like the Divrei HaMekel. So we just rejected Rava's. So Rava said, "What do you mean? I never would have thought to distinguish between a yachid and a rabbim." And we say, "Of course you would have thought to distinguish between a yachid and a rabbim." So you need to be told that the halacha is kedivrei mekel ba'avel, because you need to be told the halacha is like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, because even though he's a yachid, we want to show just how strongly we hold the halacha kedivrei mekel ba'eruv, that even when it's a yachid, you're going to follow the yachid against the rabbim. That was all one answer to the question of why I need both statements of halacha kedivrei mekel ba'eruv and halacha Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. The Gemara is now going to give two additional answers. Before we get to the two additional answers, we just mentioned Shmur Krova, Shmur Rechoka by Avelus. What if a person doesn't know? Very often when it's a Shmur Rechoka, it doesn't happen all that often anymore, but you know, when it used to happen a lot when people had relatives in Russia or whatever, where it was hard to get word out, so if you have a situation of a Shmur Rechoka, a lot of times they didn't know exactly when the death was. So what would you say then? Would you say that if you have a Suffolk Shmur Krova, Suffolk Shmur Rechoka, we paskin for a Shmur Rechoka, you only sit one day. You don't have full Shiva V'Shloshim. What if it's Suffolk Shmur Krova, Suffolk Shmur Rechoka? So the Taz in Yardea, Simr Shinsa Design, Sivkat and Beis, and the Piskei Tshuva quote from Achronim that hold that Yechayiv to be Mesabel Shiva V'Shloshim like a regular Shmur Krova. And the Radvaz explains that even though generally speaking a Suffolk and Avelus, we always go with Lahakel, nevertheless over here there's a Chazaka that he's Chayiv and Avelus, because what do we know for sure? We know that one of his Zion Krovim is dead, and typically speaking, when one of the Zion Krovim is dead, there has to be an Avelus observed. We just don't know how much time he has to be Misabel. So in such a case, we're not going to say Suffolk Avelus Lahakel. Furthermore, they say any Suffolk that's Yachol is Barer, any Suffolk that could be clarified, where there's a possibility that you will then clarify it at some point, you're not going to say Suffolk Avelus Lahakel. And the Taz also quotes from the Mari Ben Lev that since every person has a Cheskas Chayim, so we assume this person died at the last possible moment that he could have, and therefore it's still within Shmur Krova, and you would have to do Shiva, the full Shiva Shloshim. That's what the Taz quotes from other Achronim. However, the Taz himself says that we should be Mekel, and he rejects the Svar of the Achronim that say we should be Machmir because of the Cheskas Chai. He brings a lot of riyas that we don't say a Cheskas Chai in this kind of situation, and he says you should only be knowing Yom Echad Avelus, because Savik Avelus Lahakel. Now, this rule of Savik of Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel sounds very similar to the rule of Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'eruv, and a lot of the same discussions that we have about the scope of the rule of Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'eruv, you also have by Avelus. For instance, Tosos writes that even by Dine Avelus of Yom Rishon, where Yom Rishon is Daraisa, still you should, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, how much of Avelus is Daraisa? Is Shiva Daraisa, Yom Rishon Daraisa, only Aninus Daraisa, no Avelus Daraisa? But Pashtus says we assume Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa. So would we say Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel even on Avelus Yom Rishon, even on the Shaila and Avelus Yom Rishon, where it's Daraisa? So Tosa says yes. Just like the Klal Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'erev is said even Lagabe Dinim Daraisa, according to the Balei Tosa at least, even Lagabe what makes a Mechitza, what doesn't make a Mechitza, even Lagabe Dinim Daraisa, same over here. However, the Ramban says that it's only by Avelus Rabbanan that we say Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel. Not by Avelus Daraisa. Also, Tosa Masech Ksubas and Avdalit says the Klal of Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel is only by a Machlokas Tanayim, not by a Machlokas Amorayim. But the Radvaz writes that the Klal of Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel is only by a Machlokas Tanayim and Amorayim, but not by a Machlokas Aposkim. So where you draw the line of when we say Halach Kedivrei Mekel, but the Beis Yosef is Machriya that even by a Machlokas Aposkim we always go Kedasa Mekel because of the Klal of Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel. So it seems that that's the more accepted opinion, that we follow Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel all the way through, even down to a Machlokas Aposkim, even down to a contemporary Psak. Okay, so now, again, that was all approach number one. Now back in the Gemara, Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa now gives a second approach as to why I need to be told both that the Halach is like Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, even though I already know that the Halach is Kedivrei Mekel Be'eruv. So Salkadait Itzrich, Salkadait Chamina Hani Mili because I would have thought that when do we say Halach Kedivrei Mekel Be'eruv, that's Be'eruv Chatzeros, but not Be'eruv Tchumin. So Tzricha, that's why I need to be told that we pass on Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, which relates to Tchum, the Tchum of a sleeping person, that we're even going to be Mekel Be'eruv Tchumin. Why would I ever have had a havamina to distinguish between a ruvi chaseres and a ruvi tchumin? Lagabe paskin like the divrei mekel. The tnan, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, b'medvar mamurin be'ruvi tchumin. Aval be'ruvi chaseres. Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we say that you can't make an error for a person if you hadn't consulted with him first and see if he wants it? That's only by ruvi tchumin. You can't make an error of tchumin for a person if you didn't consult with the person and speak to him about it. Aval be'ruvi chaseres ma'arvin. Bein ledas, bein shelo ledas. But to make an erev chatzeros for a person, you could do that whether they gave you the go-ahead or not, whether you spoke to them about it or not. Even if they have no idea you're making an erev for them, you could do it. Why? Shezachon adam shelo b'fanav, ein chav l'adam ela b'fanav. Because it's a zechus to make an erev chatzeros. It's only good. A person loses nothing when you make an erev chatzeros. If you acquire for him a shutfus and that box of matzos that's going to now allow him to carry throughout the neighborhood, he loses nothing. He's able to carry throughout the neighborhood. He lost nothing out of the deal. But by Eruvei Tchumen, you lose a little bit also. Because if you make an Eruv Tchumen to be able to travel further east of the city than the 2,000 Amos, you lose that amount of that distance in traveling to the west of the city. So you lose something. Whatever you gain, you lose on the other side. So you can't make an Eruv Tchumen without a person's approval, because an Eruv Tchumen involves a sense of chov. So that's approach number two. Approach number three, Rav Ashi Amar Itzrich. Rav Ashi says, now here's why I need to be told that the Halach Zak Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, even though I already know Halach Divrei Mekel Be'erev. Salkadai Techamina Hanimili B'Shiyurei Erev. Aval B'Tchilas Erev Emelo. I would have thought that when do we say Halach Divrei Mekel Be'erev? That's only when you're relying on leftovers of a partially eaten Erev. And we have a machlokas about how much has to be left over for the Erev to still be good. That's where we pass in Kedivrei Mekel. But establishing an Erev Chatzeros in the first place, I would have thought that we cannot rely on Halach Kedivrei Mekel. Where do we find that we ever distinguish between leftovers of a pre-existing Erev versus creating an Erev Meikara. Titnan, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Bamed, Vamamur, Mitchilas Erev, Av B'Shiur Erev, Afil Kolshu. When do we say that we have a, you need a shear of Eruvi Chatzeros, of two Su'udos, or a Grogros for each and every participant in the Erev? That's only by Shiur Erev, that's only by Tchilas Erev, when you're originally setting up an Erev. But Shiur Erev, you could have a Kolshu for each person, and that's good enough for a Shiur Erev. V'lom L'Arev Chatzeros, El Kadesh L'Arev Shakeach, Toros Erev, Mirat Tinokos. And we only say to do the Erev Chatzeros so that children don't forget the concept of Eruv Chatzeros. As Rashi says, Lom L'Arev Chatzeros, Sholosh Shekeach Estinokos, Sholosh Shekeach Toros Erev Midoros Habad. Aval Iker Eruv B'tchumen Hu. But really, the whole concept of having boxes of matzahs, having food, that's really mostly about Eruv Tchumen. We just don't want the children to remember the need for a minimum shear in Eruv Tchumen, so we require a minimum shear also for Eruv Chatzeros. But really, technically speaking, Eruv Chatzeros don't have a minimum shear, so for Shiur Eruv, it could even be a Kolshu, we're going to rely on it by Eruv Chatzeros. Good, that's the end of that discussion. Now the rest of the daf is Klalei Apsak. Who do we paschal like in different circumstances? Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zreka, Amru, Halacha, Rabbi Akiva, Mechavero, Ukrabi Yossi, Mechaverov, Ukrabi, Mechavero. The Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against the Yachid, against Chavero, Rabbi Yossi, even against Chaverov, even against the Rabbim, and Rabbi Mechavero, Rabbi when he goes against the Yachid. L'may Hilchasa, so Rav Asi Amar, so how strongly do we hold these rules to be true that we're gonna paskin like these particular tanaim? So Rabbi Asi Amar Halacha, he says, yeah, we actually paskin this way. We paskin like these tanaim lichadchila in public. No, we're not ashamed to say it. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Matin. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says no. In certain cases we paskin this way, but we certainly wouldn't declare these rules publicly. But we will paskin this way in individual cases. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar Nirin, that if we should follow these rules, it seems that we should follow these rules, but we're not certain enough to rely on them, even for individual cases. It's just that logically it seems that these rules should be followed. Kalashon Hazeh, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rameh Rabbi Yuda, Halach Rabbi Yuda. When you have Rameh against Rabbi Yuda, Halach Zach Rabbi Yuda. Rabbi Yuda Rabbi Yossi, Halach Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yuda versus Rabbi Yossi, the Halach Zach Rabbi Yossi. So, and therefore, Vein Tzorach Lomar, Rameh Rabbi Yossi, Halach Rabbi Yossi. So certainly, Rameh against Rabbi Yossi, the Halach is going to be like Rabbi Yossi. Rav Elchanan points out, these Klalim, Rav Elchanan writes in Kovitz Shurim, in Bab Basra, of Tav Tzaditas, he says, Yesh Lachkar, about these Klalim. Is it that we went through each machlokas between Rameh Rabbi Yuda and we discovered that Rabbi Yehuda was correct in each and every time, and that's why we say the klal is that Rameh Rabbi Yehuda Halach Rabbi Yehuda, and if there are exceptions, we'll note the exceptions, but the overwhelming majority of the time, that's the way it was? Or is it that, based on what we know about the people, about Rameh's way of thinking and Rabbi Yehuda's way of thinking, it's we appreciate Rabbi Yehuda's way of thinking more, la halacha, and therefore we accept Rabbi Yehuda even without a specific analysis of each machlokas? So says Rav Elchanan, it seems the second way. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense to have a kal v'chomer. I mean, if it's just that we went through each case and it turned out that Rabbi Yehuda was more correct than all the machlokesim against Rabbi Meir, and it happened to be Rabbi Yossi was more correct than all the machlokesim with Rabbi Yehuda, then it's not shy to make a kal v'chomer. Also, when it's Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda, when it's Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir, rather, so it doesn't make sense that you would say such a kal v'chomer. But if it's about a general approach to psak, that we appreciate Rabbi Yossi's approach to psak more than Rabbi Yehuda's, and Rabbi Yehuda's approach to psak more than Rabbi Meir's, or his qualities, his personal qualities, being able to issue a psak, so then you could say such a kal v'chomer. So that's what Rav Elchanan says. We would say that it seems clear like that side. That doesn't necessarily mean every klal psak is like that. It means these klal psak. Maybe hilchsa karav b'yisuri, hilchsa k'shmul b'dini came about after actually going through each machlokas and discovering that Shmuel was the greater expert in Dina Mamanus and got it right most of the time, and that Rav got it right most of the time in his Sivahetir. So, Hashtub Makam Rabbi Yehuda, Las Makam Rabbi Yossi, Mvayit, that's just the finishing up the Kal V'chomer. Am Ravasi, Afani Lomeid, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Alach Rabbi Yossi. So, Ravasi says, I also have a rule that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we pass on Rabbi Yossi. To Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. When it's Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, we pass on Rabbi Yehuda. So, Hashta b'makom Rabbi Yehuda lasa b'makom Rabbi Yossi mibayi. So if b'makom Rabbi Yehuda, we wouldn't listen to to Rabbi Shimon. So b'makom Rabbi Yossi, do you think that there's a chance? Of course not. So yibayilu Rameiv Rabbi Shimon Mai. But what about the two shitos that lost in these previous two equations, Rameiv and Rabbi Shimon, who came out on the bottom? So what if they argue on each other? So then what do we say? So take Gemara says we leave that unresolved. We don't know. Amram Misharshia less milani klali. So Misharshia says I reject these klalim. Minala than Misharshia ha. Where does he get the idea to reject these klalim? So Gemara is going to suggest a few possible ways of how he would know that these kolam are not true. And if it's from the following Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Amar Lamad over Dama Legimel Chatzeros Apsuchos Uluzu Upsuchos Roshos Harabim. Our Mishnah, if you have three Chatzeros lined up that are each open up into each other, and they also open up into Roshos Harabim, Irvu Shtayim Achitzonos Imeim Tzayis. So if they make an Erev between each of the outer Chatzeros with the inner Chatzer, He Mutaris Iman Vein Mutaris Ima. The inner Chatzer is allowed to carry to each of the outer Chatzeros. Veshtayim Achitzonos Asur Zum Zu. But the two chatzeros on the ends are now allowed to be metalta from one to the other. V'amar Rabbi Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav says we pass on Rabbi Shimon. Uman Palagale. And who's the one that argues on Rabbi Shimon over there? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda that argues on him. I V'amar Rabbi Shimon Halach Rabbi Yehuda. But according to these klalim, we should always pass on Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. And yet we see that Rabbi Chama Bar Gurya says that we pass on Rabbi Shimon over here. So you see that these klalim are not true. So my kushya, Dilma Hechadit Maritmar, says the Gemara, that doesn't prove it's not true. That proves that in this case, we had to make a point to Dafka say that the Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, probably because this is an exception to the rule. Normally, we follow the rules. That's why Rukhan Barguya had to go out of his way to say that the Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, because this is an exception to the rule. Of course, there are going to be exceptions to every rule. So then the Gemara is going to go, Hechadit Maritmar. So then the Gemara is going to go on to suggest other ways where Rav Misharshia may know, other sources where he may know not to accept these klalim. We'll get to that tomorrow. Bye.